Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
April is Earth Month. The theme this year is planet versus plastic. So the Earth Day organisation is basically calling for a 60% reduction in the production of all plastics by 2040. But is that even possible? And if so, what are the solutions? So joining me in studio to chat about the perils of plastic and what we can do about it is broadcaster and sustainability expert Fionnuala Moran.
Fabulous. I'll take that, Lottie.
Yeah,
thank you.
You are more than welcome. So I suppose, where do we begin? Because the first thing I think of when I think of plastics is Barbie Girl. contrary to Aqua's lyrics, why is life in plastic not fantastic?
No, life in plastic is not fantastic. And we're getting to this right at the start of Earth Month. We won't have Earth Day until the 22nd this month. So there's lots of time for people now to have a little think about what they can do. There's over a billion people get really involved in it every year. So we can join them and we can all do great stuff. But I love the theme this year because I think this is something that we don't think about enough. Planet versus plastic. The main thing with My Climate Action, it's keeping the main thing the main thing. So the burning of fossil fuels is what's really put us in all of this mess, and plastics and fossil fuels are really closely intertwined. The industries are so linked. Plastic is basically made from fossil fuels, which is all the stuff we're taking out the ground, our oil, our coal, our gas, and then we have these petrochemicals, which are plastics. So we're trying to reuse these and kind of stuff like that. I think for far too long the focus has been on recycling and exclusively on recycling. But if we remember the classic phrase that we all use, the three R's, it's reduce, reuse, recycle. So it's about kind of putting the focus back on the first two and recycling being our last resort. And why it's a really big thing that we have to focus on, since the 1950s, disposability has been what we've kind of gone down the path of. So making these things single use, so they're used once and thrown away, and that's put us in this ocean of plastic that we're living in. And with that as well, microplastics and nanoplastics now have crept into our bodies. So why this is so important,
that's the stuff that scares me.
Yeah, really, really scary. So they've been found in human blood, the microplastics, breast milk, and even placenta. So before we're even out of the womb, these are in our bodies. And there was a new study published in Nature just last month that found people who had tiny plastic particles lodged in key blood vessels were more likely to have heart attack, stroke, or even die. So this is a huge looming health crisis that we really need to get on top of. So that's why I'm kind of trying to step away from all of these little kind of like, oh, maybe I'll get a full recycling bin and I'm doing amazing. It's like, if we could be a little bit more ambitious and instead imagine, what would our lives look like without plastic? What's that utopia look like? And I always kind of think of, do you ever see those like gorgeous pantries and it's all glass jars, everything else like that? This can be a much more luxurious lifestyle without plastic. So we can leave it in the past.
Sorry if this is an obvious question, but I'll ask it anyway. When you are finding those nanoplastics inside of people's arteries, where is that coming from?
So one of the really scary things was this new research that came out about plastic drinking bottles just this year. So we're like, oh dear. So we're drinking a lot more plastic than we originally thought. We used to only be able to measure microplastics. Now we can measure nanoplastics. So in 1 litre bottle, 1 litre bottle, there is 250,000 nanoplastics.
No,
so they're going straight into our bodies through there. That's 10 to 100 times higher than the microplastic content we were able to measure previously. So it just kind of makes you go like, okay. And I know that's terrifying, so I would never give terrifying stuff without some solutions. So what I do to get around that then is use instead glass or aluminium bottles, which, to be honest, is a much nicer drinking experience, I think, personally. Anyway, it's not nice to hold a little squidgy piece of plastic. Holding something like glass or metallic, it's a much more aesthetic experience, far more tactile, far more fabulous.
And you know what's funny hearing that statistic is, I was always told growing up, oh, it's fine to drink out of the plastic bottle. What's not fine is if you leave the plastic bottle in the sunlight. Is that a myth?
Yeah.
If you leave it in the sunlight and then you wanted to use it again, that's really unhealthy.
Yeah, there's truth to all of these things, but like the baseline of using it at all is kind of catching us out with the nanoplastic. So it's just something to be really considerate about and to dodge. And yeah, like we've seen the return projects coming in here in Ireland. I've kind of used that as my excuse to even further step up my try not to buy things
at
all.
And what about the speaking of that, how do you think it's going? Do you think that people are responding well?
Yeah, like there's been a lot of negativity online, but we love moaning. It's our national sport. It's what we do best. And you're always going to hear more about a bad experience than a positive experience. But the reality is we're benchmarking ourselves against the Slovakian model. There's been 21 million bottles and cans returned since the 1st of Feb. So that's huge. We're way ahead of all the targets in that regard. The organisers are really happy with that. It's going to be reviewed at the start of 2025 to see how it's going, what can be made better. But I think one good thing that comes out of this, as we head into the circular economy, which is where we're reusing everything and everything is these closed loop circles, so we're not producing, say, new plastics or new materials like that wherever we can, is that it's putting a value on these materials. So things we previously saw as being worthless, going in the bin, throwing them in a bush, whatever people were doing with them, causing all of this pollution, all this littering, we now know, oh no, that has a value. If I return it, there's like a reward scheme there that we're like, okay, that's going to have some new purpose and some new life.
And do you think that it's going to get better as people catch on to it more? Or, you know, do you think it'll be useful?
I'm just concerned if we go and we put recycled plastics in the wrong places. Like, I know there's been lots of people saying making clothes out of recycled plastic, but again, with the micro and the nanoplastics, when we wear clothes, we obviously wash our clothes. If we put them in the washing machine, those plastics break down and then they'll go back into our oceans, whatever else, into our water systems. We'll drink them again. The fish will eat them, we'll eat the fish. Then they're back in our bodies. What I would love to see instead is, say, using all of these recycled materials in spaces where we're not having that much contact with them. Like, there's really cool companies making recycled furniture and it's like really colourful out of recycled plastics, like fun stuff like that, where it's not in our food systems or in our water systems, is what I'd love.
It's getting it out of our bodies. That's
that'll be a big challenge coming down the line.
So then what can we do, like, just day to day to kind of try to sidestep single use plastics?
Yeah, so there's loads of different ways that we can do this. We can be swapping them out at home or at work. So I'd always recommend, say, if like you're coming into work every day, you have a desk, leave a few lovely little reusable bottles there, leave your coffee bottles there, leave a nice little lunchbox there, or an actual real life cutlery set. Not a plastic one, not a wooden one. They're all disgusting to use anyway.
Agreed.
Yeah, anyone who's ever put like a wooden fork in their mouth knows.
There's nothing worse.
Horrific, horrific. But yeah, so just having all these reusable things wherever we can is the way to go. And just moving back from that disposability that was brought in the 1950s. If we've learned it, we can unlearn it. And now that there's this big appetite to go more circular, that's all there as well. And I think also if we look at the spaces we have power in, like we all have different jobs, we're all operating in different parts of the community, and seeing what change we can impact there. There was a really interesting thing with Billie Eilish recently as well. She was chatting about, obviously she's making vinyl records, and just saying in that industry, she hates how wasteful it is because so many artists are making it out of new materials or using virgin plastics. And she was like, no. Let's use recycled stuff. So she's been advocating for change there. But I just think it's really interesting that we all have different spheres of influence that we operate in, whether you're in a school and you can make different changes there, or a community group, whatever. There's all places we can be doing amazing stuff. Now, we know I've said a lot about reusable bottles, so I'm going to mention one more piece of research that came out recently, again, to horrify us, but to give us a solution as well. Our reusable bottles. We love them. They're great. But I think we can fall into a little habit of not washing them. And that is what one study found. We were not washing them enough. And yeah. I hope no one's eating at the moment. They can harbour 40,000 times more bacteria than a toilet seat.
What?
If we don't watch them, including E. coli. I can see Adam grimacing outside the studio here.
Why would people not wash them?
I think it's just one of those things. It's reusable, it's water, it's only you using it for the most part. Anyway, people just don't think about it. But experts recommend you wash them daily and you sanitize them weekly. So then you're going to dodge all of this awful stuff. And even like those stats that they found, I know a lot of people will be back at their desks after the bank holiday weekend. They were found that your reusable bottle can harbor 5 times more bacteria than found on a computer mouse. And your computer mouse could have 5 million little bits of bacteria on it at the moment. So let's do a little spring clean.
Oh, that's really disgusting. Okay, I want to go back to the recycling bin.
Yes.
Why is the recycling bin not a solution for you, the full recycling bin?
So we mentioned the reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yes.
We're so caught up in recycling and everywhere I go, if I'm doing my sustainability talks, everyone has a million questions about recycling. They're a little bit confused. They want to do the right thing, but we don't look at the first two steps. And I would add even a first step before the other steps, it's refuse. So if there's places we can absolutely just say no to the plastic in the first place, amazing. Then reduce, then reuse, then recycle. That should be the thing. But we're putting all our focus on the recycling. And this is a perfect example this time of year with Easter just gone. I think there's 62,000 tons of Easter waste expected to be recycled over the weekend. Wow. The Spire weighs 126 tons. So that is half of the Spire. If you can think of that, all of our Easter eggs. Now, there are easily recyclable, thankfully, and a lot of that stuff will be cardboard. So I think 88% of us are confident in our recycling abilities. So that's clean, dry, loose, the recycling motto. All of the cardboard boxes, plastic molds and chocolate trays, and clean tinfoil. can go in the recycling bin. So if your chocolate is melted, don't put the dirty bits in. But yeah, clean, dry, loose is the recycling motto. I would say just simplify recycling in your brain. That is all you need to know. Clean, dry, loose, and off you go.
Okay. And beyond, this is obviously stuff that we can all do individually in our own homes, in our office space, but beyond our own efforts, what else is actually being done to stop single-use plastic pollution? Because we need, I think, a bigger cohort. You know, it can't be left down to the individual.
No, and I always think it's very unfair to blame the individual and for individuals to have loads of eco-anxiety when it's a system they've been put into. Like I said, their disposability was a choice that was made by that industry in the 1950s to make everything single-use, and we are where we are now. There is a massive scale-back of that happening on. So the EU Green Deal, they were just hammering out the negotiations for ages. That wrapped up last month. So off the back of that, there is now targets set on an EU level. So this is stuff all going on way above our heads, which is hopefully going to see a lot of plastic reduced, different packaging reduced and then recycled and then circular models made. So they're going to be aiming to recycle 100% of packaging by 2030 and 100% of plastic by 2035. They're also reducing waste volumes by 5% by 2030, and that's going to keep going down 5% then each year. So be down 15% in 2040 if my maths is not
wrong. So if people are feeling, because I think I definitely feel like this sometimes, I think, what use am I?
Yeah, but
but when you know that there's a bigger concept going on above you, it can make it easier.
100%. And I always say control the controllable. So like, say today, a sphere of influence like Billie Eilish with the record industry, you've gone here and you've hosted a chat about this. So now loads of other people know and they'll think, oh, what spheres of influence can I go off into in my local community? Am I in the GAA club? Can we do something there? Or like the brilliant Tidy Towns and all these different things. Like there's loads of people doing amazing stuff all around the country. So it's just about coming together with like-minded people and finding the little ways we can impact change. And then on a recycling note as well, traditionally we've only had mechanical recycling, so that's like you see the big arms coming down and they're magneting up the cans and whatever else. But there has been, and now it's very, very early stage innovation, so I don't know how much of a save all this will be, but there's a thing called molecular recycling which has been invented. So this is breaking everything right back down to the little polymers that it was originally in, and they're able to do that with 6 of the 7 types of plastic. So that's a lot more than traditionally would have been able to be recycled. So that's something that could be promising, but again, we're looking refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle. Last resort.
You heard it here. That's broadcaster and sustainability expert Fionnuala Moran, who you can find on Instagram and TikTok at Fionnuala Moran. And I will definitely be trying to figure out different ways that I can do even simple things. I'm already thinking, and maybe I shouldn't admit it, but I do still have some plastic lunchboxes. I know.
So I'm already messing.
No, but I want to get rid of them now. Just from talking to you for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, so just don't be drinking pints or tea or anything out of them. You'd be grand.
Okay.
Be grand.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare. Looking after you always.